And our second reading is from Psalm number 8, and you can find that on page 546 of the Church Bibles, and if you have a large print version, it's on page 969. So this is Psalm 8 from verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man, that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the angels, than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim in the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, Liz, thank you very much. We're beginning the next few weeks looking at a number of psalms which I hope will speak into our lives, and that they might indeed show us how majestic the living God is. Let's pray before we study God's word. Do leave Psalm 8 open if you can. Lord, so often we forget your majesty. We're so busy with other things. We fail to think about all that surrounds us. So may we know more deeply your majesty this day, we pray. Amen. I wonder, as Psalm 8 was read, were you struck by all the links which come in the book of Genesis? Now, this psalm is a bit like a broad bean or a green bean. You say, John, what? Like a bean? A runner bean, green bean? Broad bean? Well, the reason it is that you need to take both ends off to dig in to it to find out what's at the centre. Take the tops off and then dig down. So verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The last verse, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We do need to top and tail it before we can get into this particular psalm. And the name is intended to point us to the Lord's majesty and character. The unchangeable name revealed all those years ago at the start of Old Testament history. What was God's name? I am who I am, one who's been, is, and will be. He asks that the unchangeable name of God might be known across the earth because he is the awesome, the incomparable King. A number of things have struck me this week. The first is that we see the majesty of God in the wonder of his creation. Verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You set your glory above the heavens. I wonder when you last slept outside without even a tent above you. Probably not last night. It's rather cold. But I've done it a number of times when I first came to Wargrave with my boys with a trampoline in our garden. It remains one now. And you could lie on top there and go to sleep in our sleeping bags on a hot summer's evening and see the stars in the sky. But I wonder, when you've been outside a clear night, perhaps sleeping outside or perhaps walking or walking back from somewhere in Wargrave, and certainly the last few nights been so cold and clear, you can see all the stars in a very big breadth across the sky. Do you ever wonder how space can go on forever? Have you ever asked yourself that question as you lie there looking up? Well, it's amazing when you think about what God's world is like, the universe. If the earth was fitted into the sun, it would fit about a million times. The galaxy of Milky Way, which of course we know well from where we are, but there are actually billions of galaxies in our universe, approximately 100 billion, the astronomers tell us. If you started counting the stars in the Milky Way alone and counted them at the rate of every second, you'd be counting for 2,500 years. Next time you go outside on a clear night, look at the stars scattered across the sky. The nearest star, the sun, weighs approximately 2,000 million, 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 million tons. The sun is over 25 million, million miles away. It is mind-boggling when you begin to take in just the vastness of our galaxy, let alone far beyond. And Isaiah the prophet says in that prophecy, the Lord calls each planet and star by name. It goes on and says, not one is missing because of his great power and strength. And yet, his enemies and foes are avengers, and they challenge that very view. We turn our backs on God, as Romans 1 says. We suppress the knowledge of God, so evident in creation, and our whole lives go awry. Do you notice verse 2? It says this, from the lips of children and infants you've ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Sometimes the mightiest weapon in God's arsenal is not argument or brilliance or eloquence nor philosophy, but praise. And the humblest believer, a child, can use it. Our God is so great, so majestic. The children sometimes sing in Sunday Club, our God is so great, so big and so mighty. A right thing for them to sing, but also for us to take into our minds and our lives. That's just what's above us, let alone beginning to think about plant life and animal life. We see the majesty of God in the wonder of his creation. Second, we see the majesty of God in human beings. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? That word man and son of man is the same word in original language. It simply means a human being. But of course, Jesus used that phrase, son of man, of himself. And that wasn't stressing his humanity. The prophecy of Daniel about one being like the Son of Man, glorious and coming on the clouds of heaven, is a divine figure. So quite different. But we'll link up later to who Jesus is and how he fits in a moment. The majesty of God in human beings. Some look up, but their conclusion is absolutely nothing. A bit like Edmund Blackadder of the BBC mock historical comedy, who said, life is like a broken pencil pointless. That's all some people think about life. That's not the conclusion of this psalm, which is a psalm of praise and wonder. Psalm 8 tells us how to make sense of ourselves and tells us we can only understand who we are when we discover who the Lord God is. Have you done that for yourself? Or are you still trying to puzzle out the meaning of life? Lao Tzu, who was the Chinese philosopher, very ancient now, was the founder, it seems, of Taoism. And I said the other week that philosophy doesn't get you very far, and certainly Lei Tao doesn't get us very far on the meaning of life. Here's him talking about how he saw things. And he says, it's hard to know we even exist. He says this, I quote, "If when I'm asleep, I'm a man dreaming I'm a butterfly, how do I know when I'm awake I'm not a butterfly dreaming I'm a man?" What significance do we have against the backdrop of the stars and the vastness of the universe? I love Genesis 1 verse 16, just a little throwaway thing amidst the creation story. "He also made the stars," is all the writer puts. We've seen one astronaut, well known, die this last 10 days. But think of another, Neil Armstrong. He's one of the first men on the moon. He spoke about coming back to Earth on the Apollo 11 mission. He said this after that. "It suddenly struck me," I quote, that tiny pea, pretty and blue, was the Earth. "I put up my thumb and shut one eye, and my thumb blotted out the planet Earth. I didn't feel like a giant. I felt very, very small." How do you feel in our Earth, in our world, as you look up to the sky or as you look around? You should feel, in one sense, very, very, very small. There's David. His early job was a shepherd. He no doubt slept on the hillsides with his sheep. And he says, verse 4, these words. He says, "What is man that you're mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him?" Imagine him looking up. "What is it in me, Lord, that you bother and mind about us?" It's a question he asked. But he does not feel insignificant because he's been struck by the privilege of God's care. And the psalmist continues, "You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and beasts of the fields, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas." Extraordinary picture there of what dignity we've been given. We have a high and ever elevated position in the world. And Genesis 1, if you look at the back page of your service sheet, I've typed it out for you there. We have there a reminder that we're made in the image of God. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. We are to be God's image. We're to rule. We're his viceroys. And being in the image of God, we can rule over the world. We're in charge. Like the Lord, in one sense, in a delegated way. And a lot of ruling takes place in our world. I went to one family yesterday, three young children. Two of them had very snotty noses. But I noticed that actually in that home, the parents, mum and dad, they were ruling over not just the children as they grew up, but also the dog as they sought to bring order out of chaos. And as you go out to work, perhaps tomorrow, Monday, your work-a-day life displays, in fact, you're made in the image of God to rule. It's an amazing thing, role God has given us. Hard as it may seem, in your accountancy firm or teaching, whatever you do, wherever you work. Do you remember the old Bupa advert? You're amazing, and we want to keep you that way. Made in the image of God? Yes, what are we? We are extraordinary. God's given us a dignity and a role. How many of you have seen the Planet Earth programs recently? Anybody seen those? Yeah, quite a lot of you nodding. They are amazing, those films. They're just all sort of encompassing as you look at the screen and hear David Attenborough explaining what's going on. And the creation is amazing. But what is as amazing is that human beings are able to discover it. That's part of our being an image of God here as his rulers or viceroys. And yet we also muck it up by bad management. There is a huge universe, a magnificent creation, and God, the New Testament, the Old Testament says, cares for us. Every one of us is precious to God as we're made in his image and given that high position in his creation. And therefore, if a Christian believer, especially thinking about what Donald Trump said a few months ago, we should be concerned about the planet and the environment. We should be aware of the calamitous effect of some things we've done or may be tempted to do. But Christians aren't just concerned, they also know why the planet is such a mess. Because we rejected the Creator and we don't live under his word as we should. In a previous church I worked in London, a nice family, had lots of children, had five children. And then they were expecting another baby. And they went just routinely to see the GP, just check everything was well, they thought. But the GP had thought that they probably wanted to discover about the possibility of termination. And the parents explained to the doctor that actually they were Christians. They were thrilled to be having another child. And as he left for surgery, this friend, who actually, if you're a vicar, he's the sort of person who keeps on your toe because he always has some comment to bring you down to earth. He said, as he left with his wife, "Oh, thank you, doctor, but I should just mention we have a very cheeky and exhausting 9-year-old. Can you terminate him?" I think the doctor got the point. And I must say, I think vicars and doctors really lived in fear of this particular man. You never quite knew what he'd fire across at you. But we get the point, don't we? Made in the image of God. It's the majesty of God in human beings. We're all made in God's image, and we're precious. I know some of the medical things are very complex, but we are precious people made in his image. Third, we see the majesty of God in the sending of Jesus Christ, his son. Perhaps you say to us, "John, where on earth are you taking us?" Nothing about Jesus Christ in this psalm. We finished Psalm 8. You're not adding to the Bible, are you? No, I'm not doing that. Turn, will you please, to the back of your notice sheets again. Hebrews 2 is written up for you there. Hebrews 2, 5 to 9. This New Testament writer quotes Psalm 8. It's quite a tight argument in Hebrews, but it talks about the great position given us in creation. But look at verses 6 to 8. There's a place where someone's testified, "What's man that you're mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that's not subject to him. Yet at present, we don't see everything subject to him. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It's not yet subject as it should be, because we've mucked it up politically, environmentally, socially, and morally. We're stuck. What on earth can be done? We're not able to rule our planet, our own lives. Just think of the cancers and terrorism and death all around us. And we who are put in such a high position have fallen to such a low position. How are we to rule this world, or let alone the world to come? And the answer comes in Hebrews 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who can bring that about. He was God then, and he's God going ahead as well. And he did this by a massive descent. We thought about at Christmas time. He humbled himself, making himself like, but truly a human being. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ we're put back into relationship with him and the cosmos. Don't look at it now, but if you open your Bibles at home and go to the footnotes of Hebrews 2, verse 18, it points out that verse 7 talks about how for a little while that Christ was lower than the angels, and for a little while he remained like that. Then he died and rose again and ascended. He's now glorified. And the picture seems to be that one day humanity is going to get back to their original purpose and dignity. Indeed, there's strong hints that our role will be higher than that of the angels. Where did it happen? Verse 9 at the cross. And Jesus is the one Genesis and Psalm 8 point forward to. What an awesome, majestic God he is. Have you realized just what he's done for you? Ponder this week afresh, will you, please, the majesty of God in the wonder of creation. Think about the majesty of God in human beings. Think about the majesty of God in the sending of Jesus Christ, the God-man, to bring us back to himself. How great he was in creation, how great God is in Jesus Christ. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let's pray. Lord, we've been looking into things which are in many ways beyond our comprehension, yet you've spoken of them and acted in history to bless us. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Fill our minds, our lives, to live in the light of all of that, we pray. Amen.